Paracletus autem Spiritus Sanctus, quem mitet Pater in nomine meo, ille vos docebit omnia, et suggeret vobis omnia, quecumque dixero vobis. But the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today, for the Feast of Pentecost, we return in our Gospel to the final discourse of our Lord to his disciples before his Passion. The passage for today's feast day is taken from the Gospel of St. John. In this discourse, our Lord promises to send the Paraclete who will teach us all things. In the Old Testament, in the pedagogy given to his chosen people, God established the Feast of Pentecost as the Feast of Weeks. It was called so because it took place after a 7-week interval after Passover. In fact, it fell on the 50th day after the Feast of Passover and was therefore called Pentecost, which means 50 in Greek. As we read in the books of Exodus and Leviticus, in the beginning it was a harvest festival in which the first fruits of the wheat harvest were offered back to God in a wave offering as an act of gratitude. Later on, the Festival of Weeks, in addition to being a harvest festival, became a festival of the renewal of God's covenant with his people. Once the new covenant was established, Pentecost became a celebration of the renewal of this new covenant. It remains a harvest festival, since on the first Pentecost, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles today, about 3,000 souls were received into the church. If we follow the promise of our Lord in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we can look at this as the first fruits of a harvest that has continued down to our day. Pentecost can also be seen as the baptism or epiphany of the church. Our Lord's public activity was the work of preparation for the foundation of the church. This work was completed on Good Friday by his sacrificial death on the cross, when the church was born. Given that our Lord manifested his divinity in his baptism in the Jordan, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, this first Pentecost of the New Covenant, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the College of Apostles in Jerusalem, is also the baptism and epiphany of the church, the mystical body of Christ. On the first Pentecost, the risen Christ strengthened the church with the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost, who descended upon her and led her into the beginning of her public activity. This epiphany follows perfectly the template established by our Lord at the beginning of his teaching activity, when he publicly attested to his messianic office by the descent of the Holy Ghost upon him in the form of a dove. In today's Gospel, given that much of what was taught to the apostle by our Lord was not grasped or understood by them, we saw last week that our Lord promised that the Father and he would send the Holy Spirit as instructor and consoler, or Paraclete for short, who would recall and explain all these things that were said to them. He would also console them, not only because of his departure, but also in every persecution and tribulation, so that they may overcome it. The Holy Spirit also had the duty of sanctifying them, so that they could sanctify others in the same way. He is rightly called the Holy Spirit because he himself is by essence uncreated and perfect sanctity, from which all holiness of men and angels emanates and flows forth. We only have to read the Acts of the Apostles, from where our epistle was taken, to know what the Holy Spirit did for them. St. John Chrysostom tells us, he frequently calls him Paraclete on account of their sadness. The work of consolation in us is the work of the whole Trinity, though it is attributed to the Holy Spirit as designated in Scripture. It is from this Spirit of Christ that we learn and understand all things that pertain to the mysteries of our Lord. Whatever is necessary for the instruction, foundation, and stability of the Church. The commentators are numerous in affirming that this instruction from the Holy Spirit in the spiritual and intellectual mysteries will come to us today through the magisterium. St. Gregory points out that the Holy Spirit has to be present in our hearts for the instruction to be received. Unless the Holy Spirit is present in the heart of the hearer, the word of the teacher is idle. Let no one therefore attribute to the teaching man what he understands from the teacher's mouth, unless he who teaches is within. The tongue of the teacher labors outside in vain. St. Augustine tells us the Son does not speak without the Holy Spirit, nor does the Holy Spirit teach without the Son. But the Trinity says and teaches all things. Unless these things were commended to us separately by the Holy Spirit, human weakness in no way could grasp it. Moreover, the Fathers teach that the presence of the Holy Spirit is necessary as an aid to the voice of the apostle or of the preacher. The Holy Spirit illuminates the mind so that the hearer can understand the thing preached, and he inclines the will to assent to them and strengthens the memory to retain them. St. Augustine tells us, he shall suggest, as our Lord says, that is, he shall remind you, for it pertains also to grace not to forget the most salutary admonitions. The Holy Spirit taught whatever Christ has not said, inasmuch as they were unable to bear it, but he brought to mind whatever the Lord had said because of its obscurity or because of their slowness of understanding, as they had been unable to commit to memory. This month of May, let us not hesitate to turn every day to Our Lady, the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord spent 3 years teaching His disciples. He spent 30 years with His mother. With her help, we will be able to open our hearts to His gifts, His infused virtues, and His manifold graces, so that properly prepared under the influence of His inspirations, we may become truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolations, as we say in the Collect. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.